Well, turn with me in the middle of your Bibles to the book of Psalms and to Psalm 13. Now, Psalm 13 may not be that familiar to you. It's not a well-known psalm. It's a rather short psalm of David. It's only six verses. And it's a psalm of lament. It's a personal expression of grief and a prayer for help. You know, there's around six different types of psalms in the Psalter. There's psalms of thanksgiving, and there's praise psalms, there's psalms of trust, and there's worship psalms, and there's laments. But the psalms of lament are actually the most common type of psalm in the Psalter. It's more than 60 of them in the book of Psalms. And they were written to express the distress and the suffering that the people of Israel felt in their day. But God has also put these psalms in the Bible for us. Now, they're there to help us express our struggles and our sufferings and our disappointments, and also, and very importantly, to help us relate honestly to God about our feelings and to lead us to consider his ways. So, Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. You know, I brought a box of Kleenex with me this morning, not because I've got the sniffles or I think I'm going to cry. I brought it because, it's just something you don't see that much in church these days. We have a few around here, but most churches you don't see it, except maybe in the nursery to wipe babies' noses. But, I find that in many churches, there's just kind of a subtle and maybe not even a not so subtle message that says, don't cry. Because when you do, you feel uncomfortable. Maybe you make other people feel uncomfortable. And we wouldn't want anyone feeling uncomfortable in church. And so there's a spirit among us that seems to say that crying and lamenting are signs of having a weak faith. If you have a strong faith, then you won't cry, right? Well, I don't really agree with that. The message is often that we shouldn't be uncomfortable. Christians should always be happy and upbeat, and our songs and our worship should be happy and upbeat too. But Psalm 13 is a psalm of lament, and laments can make us uncomfortable. They say things that we're not sure should even be said out loud. They touch on the pain inside of us that we don't always want to deal with. But laments are a part of God's inspired word. And they're there to give us permission to lament. Of course, we usually prefer the uplifting psalms like Psalm 100. You know, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Wonderful. And we just assume that that's what the Psalms should be, joyful expressions of faith, and many of them are. And so the Psalms of lament have become the neglected Psalms. And we tend to skip over them. Like Psalm 10 that begins, why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? When was the last time you prayed a prayer like that? Or like Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's pretty uncomfortable. And should a believer ever pray that one out loud? Well, maybe you remember who did pray that psalm out loud on a Friday afternoon hanging from a cross. That's what Jesus prayed. Or Psalm 42. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. There's lots of tears in these psalms. In Psalm 88, one of the bleakest. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? And these are real down-to-earth psalms. There's lots of crying here, which is probably the reason that they're such neglected psalms. Unfortunately, we might feel that it is a sign of weakness or a lack of faith if we really lament before God. And churches are often places where people are in denial, and they cover up the pain that's inside them. And somehow we feel we should always be ready to sing upbeat choruses and never any tears, because we're strong people. We're victorious people. The truth is, yes, we are victorious people, but we actually need these laments because we're not strong people. There's a lot of pain in life. It's physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, spiritual pain, your pain, my pain, the pain of others around us. And the reason that we need the laments is not so we can be crybabies. We need them because it's the only way to be truly honest with God. You know, when bad things happen, how can we be honest with God if all we sing are praise songs? When our sickness occurs, or you know, one of our loved ones is stricken, how can we be honest with God if we never lament? We actually need the laments for the integrity of our Christian faith. They help us to be real. And believe me, God wants us to be real before Him. And we also need these laments because there's something therapeutic about them. You know, we'd actually be healthier if we didn't bottle up our pain. But we had the freedom to come to church, to come to communion with a box of Kleenex. Now, Psalm 13 is full of harsh and uncomfortable words, and we may wonder why this psalm would ever even be in the Bible. Words like, "Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" Well, Psalm 13 is a psalm of David, and David was the great warrior king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, forefather of Jesus himself. And we know that David was no wimp. He was no crybaby. He was a man's man, and yet he wrote a lot of laments. Now, we don't know the exact circumstances that led him to write this psalm. Some have suggested that maybe it was a sickness that afflicted David. But there's not a lot of detail. There's no particulars in the psalm, so we don't know. And maybe that's a good thing, because then it allows us to read our own circumstances into it. You or I or anyone else can actually adopt this psalm as our own personal cry to the Lord. And so it's not a nice, polished psalm. It's ragged. It's down to earth, especially the opening verses. But if you read these words and apply them to your own experience, you'll understand where the laments originate from. Now, Bible teacher Howard Vanderwell says laments come from five sources. First of all, they come from pain. And pain is what gives rise to laments, and it's when life just isn't what we want it to be, and when life takes unexpected turns and there's disappointments. Secondly, laments are caused by delay. Like when that pain just doesn't go away. Day after day, month after month, year after year. How long, O Lord? Now, I'm not trying to make you feel depressed, but I know that many have experienced this in different forms. Now, when the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt, they lamented, they cried out to God, and for 430 years, it just didn't change. For 40 chapters in the book of Job, Job cried out, and it just didn't change. The Apostle Paul cried out because of that thorn in his flesh. He called it a messenger of Satan, because it just didn't change. So what about you? What's the circumstance in your life that just doesn't seem to change? Could be an extended illness. Could be a temptation that you can't get rid of. An addiction that you can't shake. It could be a relational issue that just never seems to get settled. And you wrestle with it, and you pray about it, and you ask about it, but it just goes on and on. How long, O Lord? And when we think about this pandemic that has kind of locked us down, we want to say, how long, O Lord? Which brings us to the third cause of laments, unanswered prayer. You know, sometimes we make light of unanswered prayer, and we say, well, God always answers prayers. Sometimes his answer is yes, and sometimes his answer is no. And sometimes it's wait a while. Might be quite a while. Well, that's true, But still, when pain and trouble goes on and on, those prayers feel unanswered, like God isn't listening. And that's what David was wrestling with, maybe. God seems absent. Will you forget me forever, he asks. How long will you hide your face from me? Maybe you've felt like that, or are feeling it. And if you haven't, well, there will probably come a time when you will. And no doubt you know someone who has been feeling that way. So when you're in that situation for a while, you wonder if it's even worth praying about it anymore. You begin to have some doubts. But the question is, can you be honest enough to admit that to God? To tell God how you feel, exactly. And it's okay to do that. It's okay to lament. And that brings us to the fourth reason for lament, a sense of abandonment. You know in your head, and you know from Scripture, that God will never leave us or forsake us. He will never abandon his own. We know that. David knew that too. But you don't necessarily always feel that. There's times when what you know in your mind is not experienced in your emotions or in how you feel, when you feel abandoned. David asked the Lord specifically here, how long will you hide your face from me? And we hear that question a number of times in the Psalms. You see, the Israelites believed that when the face of the Lord was turned toward you, it was a sign of his blessing and favor. But the worst thing that could happen for you is for the Lord to turn his face away. Now that idea goes all the way back to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. It's when God tells Moses and Aaron to bless the Israelites, and he gives them that benediction that we're quite familiar with and that I often use. It's called the Aaronic blessing. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. A wonderful blessing. In fact, there's no greater blessing than to have God's face turned toward you. But in Psalm 13, David struggles with this sense of abandonment here, that God has maybe turned his face away and will no longer bless him or favor him. And that's his great fear. And that could lead to the fifth cause of lament, the doubts that creep into our thoughts. And that's what happened with David. He says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? See, when what you know in your mind is not felt by your feelings or experience, it leads you to ask some heavy-duty questions. Is the Bible true? Does God really love me? Does prayer work? Is it all a hoax? And so David admits there's some disturbing realities that we live with in this world. And sometimes it's hard, even for the children of God. And there's no quick or easy answers. But David doesn't just cover up his pain. He doesn't just cover up his disappointment or his feelings of abandonment or doubt. He expresses his soul before God. He's honest to God about how he feels. And that's the purpose of the laments. There's times when we need them and times when it's okay to have a box of Kleenex in church. But we don't stay there. We don't stop with lament. That little word but there is at the beginning of verse 5, and it's the most powerful, most important, most vital word in this whole psalm. That little word but is just a small word, but it has the power to sweep away all that's gone before it in this lament. After this lament we've just heard, it actually has the power to lift our eyes and restore our hope, and that's what happened with David. You know, it's kind of like when sometimes someone tells us or we hear some news and we hear something like, the plane went down, but no one was hurt. Or you have cancer, but it's easily treatable. Or your son was in a car crash, but he's fine. You know, that little word but is a powerful word. It changes everything. And it lifts us to a new place. And that's what happens in this song. And so what we need to do is to go beyond lament not around it, not avoiding it, but go through it and do what David does. He calls on God to turn and to look at him and to turn his face to him, and he says, to give light to my own eyes, so that God is looking at David and David is looking at God. And although David's been weeping and he's been arguing with God, all of a sudden he catches himself and it comes to his mind who God really is. But, he says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. So what do you do after you lament? You experience healing. Howard Vanderwell says, a religion that forces us to bottle up our pain and tears does not produce health and healing. He says, a religion that gives us the right to come before God openly and candidly with our lament is a religion that is capable of bringing God's healing to our spirits. You know, you've probably noticed that you are closer to the people that you share your deepest thoughts and pains with and divulge your troubles to. Hopefully everybody has someone they can do that with. Well, in the same way, our relationship with God will deepen and will grow closer when we're willing to be honest with him, truly honest. There's a healing that comes by just being honest with God. And if it happens to come out in harsh or desperate words, that's okay. God can handle it. He's just glad to have us calling out to him. And after we express our lament, we do what David says here. We trust in God's unfailing love. Now, a Christian lament is never an expression of wanting to walk away from God or to reject God or turn from him. I mean, we may complain, we may question, we may argue with God, but we're not walking away. We're not abandoning our faith. A lament is actually an affirmation of our faith, an affirmation of our trust in God and in his love for us through Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And God's looking for that seed of faith. You know, our circumstances sometimes may not make any sense to us, but our heart can still rejoice in our salvation. And David's circumstances may not have changed, but his focus changed. He chose to interpret his circumstances by God's love rather than interpret God's love by his current circumstances. Or as Paul says in Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Do you believe it? And so the real test of our faith comes not when God seems closest to us and when his presence seems most real and when things are well. The real test comes when God seems most distant, and there will be times like that. Will you persevere? Will you seek him then? You know, a while back I reread that old novel by Daniel Defoe. Some of us read when we were younger, The Story of Robinson Crusoe. And we think it's just a story about a guy who's cast away on a desert island. But actually, it's a spiritual journal. And Crusoe is alone. He feels abandoned by God and by man, and he's afraid and for his life, and he's anxious. But though he's stuck on that island year after year, he begins to realize that God is there and meeting all his needs. I mean, the situation doesn't change for a long, long time, but through it, God is becoming more real to him, teaching him, equipping him, becoming more real and caring for him each day. And more, Crusoe realizes, like David says at the end of the psalm, that God has been good to him. You know, at times we may feel like we have been cast away. And so God put these laments in the Bible there to help us commune with him, to help us know how to call out to him. As 1 Peter 5:7 says, we can cast all our cares on him because he cares for us. So David's lament in Psalm 13 gives us permission to enter into a very intimate relationship with God and to be really honest with him. And to help us realize that God accepts our honesty. So when we're honest to God about our questions and feelings, then our personal relationship with Him will actually deepen. And when we're being honest with God, then we're on the path to healing. So whatever pain you're facing, whatever lament may be in your heart, bring it before God and His unfailing love. And though we may have tears like David, we can come out of our trials singing the praises of God's goodness.